Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Pride members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Round number one, good initiative, bad judgment strikes again, but this time involving some beloved McDonald's hamburgers. Round number two, Kate's diet has been a topic of conversation lately. Her choice might make some of you want to die a little bit, which leads us right into the story for round number two. Round number three, our British friends across the pond. Guess what they're going to be able to do again soon, guys? Guess. You don't know.
Sweep your chimneys, Governor.
They will sweep your chimneys. That's exactly right. Any guesses?
Drink an inappropriate amount of alcohol and scream at soccer games.
I think they have been doing that, and they'll continue doing that. The answer that I was looking for there was hug. They're going to be able to hug, because I don't know if you guys know this. In London, you're not allowed to hug.
Whoa. I don't know if I like that at all, actually.
As a COVID thing or just as a cold British personality kind of thing?
I think the Queen just frowns upon it.
Right.
Yeah, I watched like 20 minutes of The Crown. I feel like I know so much more about England than I used to.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff to watch.
And whoever said you can't learn anything from television?
That's exactly right. And finally, round number four. Bin Laden has been dead as a doornail for 10 years. And there's a new article that came out in Politico. Did you guys see it?
No.
Did you happen to see it?
No.
It is by far the most fascinating account of the Bin Laden story that I've ever heard. And I mean, not besides the mission. Obviously, Rob O'Neill's telling of what happened there. But the way that it all came together is absolutely mind-blowing. From the people that are involved.
Oh, yeah.
I have a little bit of a breakdown from the Politico article, but you're going to want to read the whole thing. We can't go through the whole thing. It's like fucking, it's a lot of words. A lot of words. A lot of words.
And all the words.
All the words.
So many words.
And the whole show is
DM, right? It was what? Obama DM'd. He slid into the DMs of Bin Laden. Is like, we're coming for you, bitch.
Yeah, we're like, where are you at, dude?
Obama said, all right, Dan, roll up.
And then Rob O'Neill, okay. I'm excited for this.
Got it.
And also, I saw the pictures of the house for the first time today, like the little compound. That place, fucking shithole.
Yeah, but open concept, though. That's important. And a nice backsplash, I heard.
Leon Panetta makes a good point that we're here about in round number four, but I'll tell you what it is right now. He said if any place in all of Pakistan could have a resort, it would be Abbottabad, like of all the cities that are there. And
because
you have Bin Laden's... you have Bin Laden's compound.
Hey, where are you going this weekend? Abbottabad.
Yeah, you have his compound, 18 feet walls.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
You can't see anything.
Compensating for much. That's like having a lifted truck here in the States. If you have an 18 foot wall, it's like really, PayPal.
Yeah, really big pickup. It's like, what are you hiding? Yeah. What are you hiding?
I heard he had KC lights on the top of his wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you get a ridiculous color pickup too, just to really
wait, this new pickup that I got is not a ridiculous color. It's copper. What are we talking about? Copper is not ridiculous.
Wow, sounds a little ridiculous.
Oh, sorry, I didn't go fucking silver or black. Ugh. Silver
like
black.
Penny,
you're a wet penny. Wet pennies, by the way, when they get stuck in your little cup drawer inside your car, that is fucking gross. When you have to touch those things, you don't want to do that unless you've been goofing with some 3chi, which you'll be able to soon. I've been doing 3chi ads for a while. Recently, people, because we talk about it even when we're not doing ad reads, people are like, 3chi is obviously the shit. So people have been reaching out to me and they're like, you were not kidding about 3chi. If you haven't like smoked any type of weed or done any type of THC in a long time, 3chi will put you on your fucking ass in a heartbeat. So you need to get some. 3chi is the industry leader in Delta 8 THC gummies. All products are formulated by biochemists and made in the USA with USA grown hemp. 3chi's Delta 8 is federally legal version of THC and is more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you amazing buzz and a great body feel with a cleaner head and less anxiety and paranoia. It's available online at 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. And at retailers around the country, you must be 21 to purchase. And remember, it's not CBD. So if you're a military bubba still, or sissy, if you're a military person still, or if you do any kind of job where they're going to give you a drug test, don't take it because you will piss, as the French say, hot if you have that. So make sure you go to 3chi.com. Enter the promo code ZBT2021. You're going to get 5% off on your first order, first of many. There will be many. If you buy one, you will buy many. I promise you that. Let's get going with the show. So Catherine is trying to record with us. She's making gallant efforts as new mom. She's got responsibilities. Her baby is sitting there watching mom get the mic together, watching Mike get her levels right and all that kind of stuff. Very gallant effort on Kate's part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't really imagine what it would be like to focus on caring for an entirely additional human being and trying to record this podcast. Because like if I get a text message during the podcast, I get distracted. So I can't imagine if there was a 2-month-old in my care 4 feet away from me.
That's the moment that I start recording that I know for sure. As soon as record is pressed, my kids are going to start acting like assholes. Mm-hmm. I just know it. And then I'm going to get a text from my wife. Kids are being dicks. We need you up here.
Yeah. And imagine they're, you know, somewhat grown. They have control over themselves, over their bodily fluids and then their functions. I would, you know,
well, you're giving them a lot of credit.
Well, but certainly that they don't need you really. They can exist inside your home for an hour without you.
My kids kind of hate each other. So they aren't. I always thought we had McCartney when Kelsey was 8. So I thought by the time, hey, it's Cash on the podcast. What a guy. So we have Kate is sitting in front of the microphone, just holding her infant son. Baby heads are just the best, man. They're just the best. Cash is loving it. He's just hanging out. He's a big time stoolie, long time stoolie, Cash.
Brick by brick.
Really, really.
So we had when Kelsey was 8 years old when McCartney was born, I thought, I have a built-in babysitter. I can't trust these kids together. I'm going to come home to my house burned down. I can't.
What if now, granted, you shouldn't have to do this because as they're both your children, you shouldn't have to put money on the table. But what if you said to Kelsey, we will pay you to watch McCartney?
Listen, I'll throw out money just on a Friday night if I'm here. I'm like, look, if you just leave me and mom alone for 2 hours so we can watch an entire movie without somebody needing popcorn, somebody needing something to drink, somebody needing some Tylenol or fucking melatonin. I wish I could load my kids up on 3G, honest to God. Like Friday nights, just take some 3G and go to bed.
I have a question. Is 3G, I probably should know this. Is that something that you should be 21 years or older to use?
It is. I say it in the ad read every time, cons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I should start paying more attention to those
Unbelievable. All right, let's hop into round number one. This one's a little good initiative, bad judgment. And I love these kind of stories because Kate and I, when the Chaps and Kate show was winding down and quarantine was really, really going, we both loved the 1,000-pound sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Loved
Sody it. Pops, people. Sody Pops.
Sody Pops. Day. I will never call a Coke of any kind anything but a Sody ever again for the remainder of my natural life. So these kind of stories, when 1,000-pound sister type stories pop up, I pay attention. This one is from a lady named Lisa Fleming, who appeared on TLC's My 600-Pound Life. She found maggots growing in the folds of her skin. Yeah, Fleming said finding maggots on her body was the moment she realized that she needed help. The infection she had was likely from a form of wound known as miasis, in which maggots can infest open wounds or sores. There are different forms of this, but at 704 pounds, Lisa Fleming knew that she needed to lose weight. I don't know if it should take maggots in your skin to know that you should drop a couple
of these. I don't know that you need to get to 700 pounds. The alarm should have started going off maybe at 2 bills. So
I think when you have to tell your 450-pound brother to find me a scale that I can use in my own home, that should be the last wake-up call. Because Tammy on 1,000-pound sisters, they had to weigh her ass at the fucking junkyard.
Yeah, they took her to the junkyard. That was tough.
Now, I'll tell you, as we know, I love the Dr. Pimple Popper stuff. You give me a good cyst, I'll watch those videos till the cows come home. Maggots in your skin, that's a bridge too far. I won't watch that. That's an issue for me. That is a health concern.
It really is a health concern. So this one, Fleming started to feel sick and noticed that her leg had been bothering her continually. She said to her daughter, who pulled open the folds of Fleming's skin to find maggots. Fleming's daughter now has to check her mother's leg every day to make sure it's healing. But how exactly does this condition occur? Fleming likely experienced a form of miasis, said the doctor who was looking after her. He said that Fleming likely experienced the form of this Malaysian wound that happens when fly deposits its eggs on a wound or open sores where it could be able to feed on human flesh and give birth to maggots.
Come on.
I know. In the context of an open wound, flies would land on these open sores or big, like oozing type of sores that they would have in order to lay their eggs. If they're unclean surfaces, the inorganic material, the fly can put its larvae in there and they will thrive because there are tons of nutrients. It's warm and wet. And that makes sense, really. Like if you think about like a dumpster in New York, like in the middle of the summertime, hot, wet, gross, disgusting. That's like maggot city. That's what's going on in the folds of these fatty skins.
Yes, I think that makes a great point. And I'm thinking now, if you are a drill instructor and you're taking soldiers, Marines through training for the first time, this is something you could probably utilize as a cautionary tale. Hey, take care of your feet, take care of your body, because you don't want maggots growing in your skin. Because had you told me this was something that actually happened to humans years ago, maybe I would have said, I don't know that that's actually true. That can't be possible. There can't be bugs like maggots that grow inside humans. But now that we have all these shows at our disposal and these crazy science shows, it does make sense. So I would start utilizing this in boot camp. Hey, well, take care of yourself.
I agree. And I also think that you have to market your skills. If you're a former drill sergeant, TI, whatever the fuck you want to call it, one of those instructors that yells at you at boot camp. If you had like TaskRabbit, for example, where you are just unmotivated, lazy, where you could go in and have like your own version of a drill instructor come to your house, be like, look, I know for a fact, when the alarm goes off at 8 o'clock and I'm supposed to go to the gym or whatever time, I know I'm not going to do it. So what I'm going to do is give my Simply Safe code to this drill instructor who's going to be able to come into my house and scream at me until I get up out of bed. I think there's certain people who want to change their life around who might go for that type of thing.
I definitely agree.
There's times, because I've been open about it, but I suffer from depression that comes kind of in waves from time to time. And there were times where I wish that I could have employed that. I'm like, I just need to, because I'm very much the kind of person who, left to my own devices when I'm in that way, it's like, but if someone
can have
I'll hop up.
And you can have the best of intentions, right, Kate? Like when you hired that personal trainer, even though you knew, I'm going to ghost this personal trainer, but I'm going to hire him anyway, just because for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to feel dynamite. Like you have that type of thing, but then you can just block their number. You can block whatever, and they don't care. They already got your number. But if the drill instructor only gets paid for when you actually do work out and you can't change your code or anything like that, they could get in your house to get your ass out of bed. I bet that'd be pretty lucrative.
Yeah, I agree. Also, because I think adults, no matter where you are, you can always talk your way out of doing something and actually justify it with a good excuse as to why you can't wake up at this time and go to the gym, or as to why you can't eat this meat.
Well, I think the big part of it,
I definitely think there's a market for people.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I think the big part of it for me too, drill instructors are so loud and I'm very shame motivated. I try to avoid feeling shame. Would be knowing that my neighbors could hear me getting berated for being a piece of shit. So I'd be like, okay,
get up, you piece of shit.
Okay, I'm getting up.
I hired him, Becky. I promise.
Yeah, where they don't stop screaming until you are up and moving, kind of thing. So like, all right, the neighbor's going to hate you. You better hurry up. So yeah.
You can make some money. This is the part that made me include it in the podcast, though, because having maggots in your skin puts asses in the seats, like as far as podcasting goes. They said that this person isn't the only person to ever have this, obviously. The main doctor who's doing the research, said he did not treat Fleming, but he has seen the condition on other patients. One developed this affliction as a result of storing McDonald's hamburgers in her fat folds to keep them warm at night.
Ew. No, no, ew. No.
Though I will tell you this, with the baby's milk, if I'm pumping and then I put it in the bottle and then he only finishes a little bit of it, and they like it warm and toasty, like it's fresh from the tit. And so I'll put it in a crevice, not a crevice. I'll put the bottle. I'll put it like under my arm for a little bit, or like, no.
No, I think we knew what you meant by crevice. I don't think anybody went there.
I put it in my ass for a little bit.
But so. But that is drastically different than keeping your McDouble warm in your belly fat.
That's true, but I don't hate the thinking there.
No, I don't either. I mean, there is certain things at nighttime where if you know you're prone for a late night snack. I mean, for instance, in my new place, I posted a picture on Twitter. Last year, about this time, I was 227 pounds. Right now, I am 196 pounds.
Whoa.
That is only because I moved to a new spot and I refuse, once I lay down in my bed, to go up two flights of stairs to get to the snacks. So that's the only reason. If you aren't going to do that, you might as well put a McDouble underneath that titty.
Yeah, that's kind of your own version of the drill instructor. Instead of getting yelled at, you just put them so far away that you can't get to your snacks. I will
but
say
it's
that,
even more embarrassing when people ask me why, how I lost weight. I'm like, yeah, well, because I'm too lazy to go get popcorn now.
My laziness that initially caused me to eat unhealthy because it was harder to eat healthy has now come back around full circle and is helping me lose weight. That's an interesting story.
That was part of it. And also that you know how on Amazon you're going to have those recurring purchases?
Yes.
I started doing recurring purchases of like the bulk thing of M&Ms.
Oh, no.
When I get the alert that it's coming, I'm like, well, that one's coming. I don't want to
finish this one.
Two.
Right.
That would be wasteful.
Dude, that's the worst. Because I'm sorry, real quick. I'm a grazer myself. So if there's food there, like I was at a party on Friday. There was just food out the entire time. So I just kept eating. Was I hungry? No, sure wasn't. But there was food there. So I just kept picking at it. But what were you going to say about
M&Ms? Finger food doesn't count.
No, yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you can do it in one bite, no reason to worry. Mm-hmm. But what were you going to say, Kate?
Well, two things. Speaking of grazing, one time my aunt, my godmother, who worked for Vanguard, the finance company, pretty big, like fancy, not like, definitely not like Barstool, like Fastest Forever, but they had this Christmas party where the brag was like, 365 different kinds of cookies, Christmas cookies, one for every day of the year. Wow. And in my head, my little kid head, I was like, I'm going to try every single one of these fucking cookies. I did pretty much as best I could. And then we were leaving and she's talking to some of her business partners and I just puked all over my shoes. I was like, I did it. I wasn't even upset. I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, but anyway. And I also think that the people at the party were probably really proud of you because they're impressed. If you're a child and you take on that type of undertaking, one, it shows a mental fortitude that most people can't have. Mm-hmm. Like it's just a commitment to getting the job done, mission accomplishment before troop welfare, even early stage.
By cookie 32, I had the diarrhea goosebumps and I kept going. So
that's unbelievable. I've never given diarrhea goosebumps.
I know that feeling.
You and me.
I've never given the thought, like 365 cookies. I mean, 50 cookies is a lot of cookies. 365 full-size cookies? That's
all in a row, too.
What about whenever Kate comes back full-time and I'm in New York, we have a podcast where we promise the listeners we won't leave the podcast studio until we eat 365 combined cookies.
That's 100 cookies per, give or take.
It's more than that. It's like 120 cookies per.
We need 365 stoolies to send in a batch of cookies, and then we'll try them all. Well, at the risk of even being poisoned by a hater.
Yeah.
But number two.
If you want to warm them up, we can bring in like some of the fat pen, like Coach Doug's and Glennie Balls can warm them up.
I was thinking, how great would it be? That's disgusting that she was using the fat deposits to warm up the, you know, her McDoubles and what have you. But how great would it be Sunday morning, you wake up and you don't even have to get out of bed and you just got a McMuffin waiting for you in your armpit.
Oh man, a McMuffin in there would be, and steamy ham is better.
Oh,
well, M&M's, two things that great in your crevices, M&M's under your armpits for just, the brown bags, M&M's just under your armpits for 1 minute. They're the perfect meltiness. Same for a nice cheese and mayonnaise sandwich wrapped up in foil.
Oh, Jesus
if you're not
Christ,
down
Kate.
The shore and it can't be sitting in the sun, put it
in what world? I'm sorry. In what world is mayonnaise warm ever good?
That's Kate's favorite sandwich. You've never heard her talk about that? Mayonnaise. Down the shore on the beach, she'll get cheese and mayonnaise and just let it sit inside the foil all day.
Yeah. While I'm
and then
swimming,
she comes back.
I come out of the ocean and I have a nice warm mayonnaise that's all soaked into the bread.
Mm. Speaking of Kate, there's a new show on HBO right now called The Mayor of Easttown. I don't know if you guys are watching it.
I haven't started it. I've heard it's fantastic.
It's so Delco it hurts, I think, right? Oh.
They have Kate Winslet speaking in a Delco accent.
What do you think of her Delco accent?
She's trying her best. Smoking a Coke. They have them saying all sorts of things so they can emphasize the O on it. But yeah, I think she's doing a pretty good job there. Go Birds.
I will give them credit that the
you know what placement. The fuck it is.
Yo,
the product placement
down to Wawa?
Of Rolling Rocks and Yinglings, as prevalent as they are, I respect that.
And Wawa cups. Kate Winslet holding a Wawa cup in every other scene.
Wawa does have some fantastic cups. Like that marketing is so good for their, because half of drinking in front of people is what it looks like. Mm. I mean, that's the reason why Starbucks takes off. Starbucks doesn't take off because their coffee is so much better than anybody else. It's because the brand recognition of the cup in your hand.
Let me ask you a question. Was Starbucks the first person to do the coffee sleeve?
Oh, no way. Can't be. No. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I would be completely shocked if that was the case, if that's what they were going on. All right, let's move on to round number two. This one has a little.
You know who's always putting their coffee in sleeveys?
Who?
People in the armies going in the sleeveys.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right, Kate. Kate, the new mom with the dad joke. Gotta love that. So round number two, it's a tale as old as time. Meat is manly. It's what a man eats. It's meat, 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 meat. Cons, let me ask you, your favorite meal where meat is the absolute star?
Oh, it's just your basic steak and potatoes.
You like ribeyes? What are we talking about? Ribeyes, tomahawks, what?
A good tomahawk, or I would go a filet mignon, just like how thick the filet mignon usually is.
I was at a steakhouse with Cons after the Daytona 500 or something, and we were all pretty drunk, and maybe we weren't sounding as clear as we always do. And this poor teenage waiter is like, Captain Cons, what would you like? And Cons is like, steak, black and blue. And the kid thought he wanted a blue cheese steak. Guy bought him a steak with covered with blue cheese crumbles and condiments.
Which was an interesting take on black and blue.
Rare. I wanted it black and blue. And I said, just eat the fucking blue cheese steak.
I don't think I complained. I'm not a complainer. I'm pretty sure I just ate it. I'm not a picky person.
You sent it back and got it black and
blue. No way.
Yes,
no
way. Threw it across the room. If I remember the store correctly.
Yeah. He's like, what kind of enlisted behavior? And he slammed the steak down on the ground.
What is this? I serve this country. Give me a proper steak, damn it.
Right, exactly. So anyway,
I disagree with the filet mignon. I know filet mignon is supposed to be like the fanciest steak there is. Give me a top sirloin any day. That's my favorite one, because it's just if you get it at a nice restaurant, it's usually cooked so perfectly. Top sirloin is mine. What about you, Kate? Favorite steak? Favorite meat star meal?
Favorite meat a star meal meat. I'm going to say, besides a good lumber dog, a Philly-style lumber dog, which, as you all know, is hot dogs cut up like Lincoln Logs and stacked on a bun, I'm going to say a nice dry piece of chicken covered in warm mayonnaise, little bit of American cheese on a Hawaiian roll with lettuce. God.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I like my chicken dry in a way like it crumbles apart like sandpaper.
Is that because you're so cautious about like raw meat?
Touching meats and foods. I want everything well done. I get my burgers. I'm like crisp it into a charcoal brick, my friends.
Really?
Oh yeah. If you have blood
on
your burger,
Kate hates salmonella. Oh yeah. Well, burger maybe, but
you should see me when I crack eggs. It's like I'm cracking two radioactive balls or something. I'm like, I have like all these precautions to not touch any part of the egg.
Well, I'm only bringing up this because Australia is trying to have meatless Mays. They're trying to make meatless May a thing in Australia in order to help like global warming and all that shit that's better for the environment. Well, they had a commission for a nonprofit for No Meat May. It went on to reveal that the more meat a diet contained, the more masculine it was perceived to be by both male and female respondents. It found that 47% of people still saw eating meat as masculine undertaking as opposed to something general, neutral, or feminine. What was perhaps more shocking was that 73% of the respondents say they would rather reduce their life expectancy by up to 10 years than to give up eating meat. And I gotta say, right now the life expectancy in the United States is probably around 82, 83. And I think it's actually the first time in a long time that it's actually declining. If I can't eat the things that I want by the time I'm old, I don't give a fuck about living.
No, not at all. If you have to put me on some sort of restrictive diet, what's the point?
Half of my enjoyment as an adult is eating a good cheesecake. I mean, that's like half of my excitement in life.
Yeah, boozing. If I ever find out I have a big illness or whatever, that's just not going to get better. I'm starting to rip Peters again. Maybe a little nose candy.
Well, let me tell you this, because I think some of the listeners that have been listening for a long time know that right before McCartney was born, my biological father had a stroke, and he has been in a nursing home for McCartney's entire life. Like since McCartney was 8 years old, my dad has been in a nursing home. He is a veteran and like gets to stay at like a veteran place and things like that. He smoked his whole life, drank his whole life. That's probably the reason why he had the strokes. And his nurses there tried to make him stop smoking. They were like, he can't talk, he can't walk, he can't communicate. The only thing that he likes to do is to go outside, get rolled outside in his wheelchair, sit underneath these big trees and rip heaters. And they called me and they're like, is this something that you want your dad to do? And I was like, dude, let him fucking chain smoke himself to death. Who cares? Like, he's not he's not living a quality life. Just let him, it's the only thing he likes.
That gives him any sort of enjoyment in his day. Let him have at it. Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you
limit his meat though? Well, limit his meat intake.
Yeah, limit his meat. Exactly right. So he just sits under there, fucking smokes cigs all day. Like, he's probably having the time of his life, honestly. Like, nobody, you don't have to deal with anybody's bullshit. He wasn't the most social fella, anyways. So just being able to sit, take in some nature, look at the river, and smoke some cigarettes, my God.
Yeah, I think there's a time in your life where you get to, you know, you grow up as a kid, obviously, you have to listen to your parents for the most part and do as they say. And then you become an adult and you get to just think and do for yourself. And it's always crazy to me when I get to the checkout line at the supermarket and I realize if I want to buy all this candy right now, I could do it. Nobody's going to stop me. But then I think you get to a point, and Chaps, correct me if I'm wrong, you get to a point where you got to think about your family or your wife, your children. And then you get past that point.
What are you,
and
some
get
kind
to-
of pussy?
Yeah, I don't think about my wife and kids at all when it comes to healthy decisions. I just think if I go to New York, I'm going to get roasted for being fat. Like, that's my motivation of keeping remotely healthy is that kind of thing, like social peers instead of families, because you don't think that long term. And I think I'm 38 years old. I don't think in 10-year increments now.
No, like, no shot.
I don't, like, 5-year, 10-year plan. Sure, I could tell you what I want to do. I'm not taking any steps to doing that stuff. I'm just hanging out.
I got maybe like the next 2 years quasi mapped out, not even fully. Just, I have ideas. But
no,
these people,
I mean, as long as I am still doing okay and like I'm not like really hurting financially and my kids aren't lacking things and my family's not lacking anything, I don't really care. I'm fine with how I am right now. But these folks, legitimately, 3 out of 4 people saying that is kind of shocking.
That is kind of shocking.
That being said, what do you think would be, besides like your typical vices of like booze and things like that, what do you think would be your single most difficult thing to get rid of?
Golf, easily.
Chocolate.
Ooh, golf? Food wise, it'd be chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah, chocolate.
Definitely chocolate.
Not counting food.
Oh, not counting food.
Not counting food. It would be golf. Yeah.
Masturbator.
I was gonna go with my cell phone. I think that would be
You know what? Here, I've said this for a long time now, and this is probably counterintuitive for what it is that we do here on Zero Block 30 and in Barstool Sports as a whole. But if social media ceased to exist tomorrow, wouldn't care.
That's a lie. You respond back faster than almost anyone in the Barstool world. You on Twitter, you are responding in a heartbeat.
That has nothing to do with
it. Text you, you're going to respond back in less than 30
seconds. That has nothing to do with enjoying it. It has everything to do with my neuroses and my anxiety. And if I see notifications, I have to take care of them and needing to clear that
really
out.
The juxtaposition of Kate and Cons as far as their cell phone uses are so far, and then I'm like in the middle of because Kate doesn't give a shit about. Kate can have 700 notifications on her phone, doesn't care, what doesn't bother at all. Cons has to have everything cleared out. Me, certain things I don't like my wife. Well, what are you at right now?
Get out of here with that 630.
800.
That's 530 text messages unopened right now.
Like what? But like, Kate, like I have to imagine somewhere in that 530, there's something that's important.
And you think, there's a lot of things that are important. And then I get in trouble with like family and friends a lot down the line. They're like, thanks a lot for showing up for this thing. And I'm like,
that's what I feel the most special. Honestly, when Kate responds back to my text, I'm like, she actually checks mine.
Yeah. I'll let the ZBT group chat just roll and roll. And then I'll pop in and be like, hey, didn't read your stuff. Look at my baby. And then I leave again for like 2 days. Yeah. I'm a piece of shit. I can't help it.
That's the way I like it. If you started responding all the time in the group chats, I'd be like, what the fuck's wrong with Kate? She okay?
But see, now it goes against me, though, too, because then when I don't respond to people right away, they automatically think that either, A, I'm ignoring them, because they probably don't think something's wrong. They probably just think I'm ignoring. Or I'm dead, yes.
Yeah. But you've really set yourself up for failure in marriage. Because now, like, whenever you're getting married, if you don't respond back, she knows you have your phone.
Yes, I know. Yeah, it's the worst. It's
the
worst.
This is what I do. I set the standards low so people don't expect anything from me.
Yeah, you know? If I know we're going to record at like 6, I'll at like 10 o'clock that morning be like, okay, we're thinking about recording at night. Just let me know in a couple hours if you want to do it or not.
Yeah. Oh, side note, you know who's coming over here tomorrow, 8:45 in the morning?
Who?
I can't imagine who's coming at 8:45 in the morning. Who?
Token CEO's rolling in for Mother's Day.
Whoa.
I know. And so my tits might really be out at that time. I might really. Anyway,
I don't know if we needed to say that, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
Hey, anyway. Speaking of meatless May, I don't know how much you guys have paid attention to the news today on Monday as we record, but 11 Madison Park is this super swanky Michelin-starred restaurant in New York City. And they decided that when they come back, they're coming back meatless as a restaurant.
Sounds which like is a brand of polos you'd wear. Oh, these are 11 Madison Parks.
Like, I understand if you're that kind of place and you have an extensive vegetarian or vegan menu, if you want to do that. But why meat shame?
The crux of it was the guy said, the chef, he's a world-renowned chef. This guy, David Hume. Yeah, he's one of these not even like a celeb chef. He's just very well-known chef and restaurateur. Yeah. He just said he can't ignore the way the industry is going right now, and it would be irresponsible to continue to serve meat.
Oh, shut up,
guys. Well, it's because all these little farms are getting bought up by the big things, and it's like, whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot to it.
Speaking of big farms, that's exactly what happened with Bill Gates. Did you know that, Kate? That Bill Gates is the biggest farmland owner in the United States, and him and Melinda announced their divorce today.
Yeah,
I know. I just sad saw to that. See. Is there no 27 hope for years. Anybody? A-Rod and J-Lo and Bill Gates and Melinda and.
Well, I'm out on J-Lo, by the way. You can't go to Ben Affleck right away. You can't start hanging out with Ben Affleck right away.
Yeah, but here's the opposite side of that argument. You already got all the new relationshipy things out of the way. You already know what you're getting. And if anything, he's a better person than he was when they dated way back when.
Oh, I think that's the assumption.
No. Hear me out. Ben Affleck is the perfect, perfect rebound guy. Because when you're on rebound, you're a little bit heartbroken. You want to eat. You want to drink. You want to smoke. You want to be just a disgusting human being. And Ben Affleck says, come here and do that, my friends. You can drop all your Dunkin' Donuts on my stoop. I don't care. You know, he's just,
that's fair.
He's somebody who says sleep all day. I don't give a fuck. But we'll bang at some point. I think about it a lot.
I don't think Ben Affleck cares about banging. He doesn't look like the kind of guy that cares. I bet he's impotent.
Oh, I mean, I don't God. Think, I don't Jeff, think you get that. Yeah, you can. I don't think you can get a tattoo like he has on his back. Yeah, why not?
Once you've been on the cover of US and People magazine, people can accuse you of being an impotent like that.
I'm sorry, what magazines? Oh. What magazines?
US and People?
US?
He's with some, he just broke up with that Us Weekly lady. So he's got,
is that what it is? Oh no, it is Us Weekly, yeah.
He's got a bone dog on him, forget it.
No, he's got a little dick. I'm sure of it.
Oh my God, I don't know why, but I hate this Ben Affleck slander. I really feel connected to him.
Nah, I
ever since you became a mom, you hate when I talk shit about Ben Affleck's dick.
I'm so tired of you talking about Ben Affleck's dick. And then, yeah.
What do you think of his tattoo, Kate? His huge dragon tattoo on the back.
Perfect enlisted.
Yeah, me and Kate can't do a whole lot of tattoo judging.
Yeah.
That's a glass house that we cannot throw a stone in. But you can throw a stone at your computer if you don't have access to GovX. That was a stupid transition. I'm fucking.
It was so close. I will say it was so close. It was close. It was close. It was right there.
It really was, but it ended up being terrible. But what's not terrible of GovX.com? It was built for you. It was built for the veteran. It was built for those people who like, oh, I don't know, brands like North Face, Under Armour, Oakley, Garmin, so many more. You can get a fancy boy watch there, fancy girl watch. You can get knives. You can get Whisker Do's, Whisker Don'ts, Benchmates, Leathermans, Sogs. You can get all kinds of shit from that place. If you want sunglasses, buddy, they got sunglasses. They got Vortex Optics, Surefire, Wiley X, anything you want, you can go there, because that's a spot where they go to honor American heroes. GovX also donates money to nonprofits honoring government heroes and American heroes. The GovX community has supported nonprofits like Paralyzed Veterans of America. Kate won't like this one, but Firefighter Aid. Not Volunteer Firefighter Aid, just regular, so that one's fine.
Regular's okay.
The Green Beret Foundation, Team Rubicon, our military kids, and many, many more. GovX truly believes in their mission to honor the men and women who serve the country. So make sure that you go there right now, because if you sign up, you'll get your membership and you'll get $15 off your first order of $50 or more with the promo code, coupon code ZBT15. Let's move on to round number three. This one comes from Jolly Old England, and people are being urged to remain patient before the next relaxation of COVID lockdown restrictions, as there is a possibility for coronavirus cases to reignite amidst reports that family and friends in England could be allowed to hug in just over a fortnight. That being said, those stories coming out of India are fucking tragic, man.
Scary and tragic.
Yeah, crazy.
Very much so.
And it's like they're not taking it serious at all. Like one of my buddies, he's from India, and he was sending me pictures. And he was like, every single one of the major religious groups there is fucking it up. They have like all their big festivals, like the Sikhs, the Muslims. You have like the Hindu, the Christians, everybody that's there. They're still having these huge meetings without masks. Like tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are dying every day. And they're not doing anything about it. Like they're just fucking going about their normal business.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
I'm sure.
Can't do it. And meanwhile, in England, you can't fucking hug. So the success of the vaccine rollout and sharp reduction in coronavirus cases and death led ministers to support the move, according to the Times. If approved, this would mark the first time that people in England have been allowed to have physical contact outside of their household for more than a year. The government had said it would keep hugging under review as England approaches the third day of roadmap of lockdown on 17 May. It has not made a formal announcement that of yet. Not only that, I don't know if you guys have heard this news coming out of Hawaii about coronavirus. Have you heard it?
Nope. Tell me.
Honolulu, Maui, and several of the other largest cities in Hawaii, because like it's a airborne disease or a virus, they are outlawing loud laughing in Hawaii, like in these major cities. You're not allowed to laugh really loud in public anymore.
Well, I guess they can't listen to our show anymore.
Yeah, so like people
watch out for
really,
our Hawaii downloads going down.
Yeah,
people are really upset, like in Maui, because you're going there on vacation and you have all these people that are coming in, like these government officials. They're saying no loud laughing at all. The only thing you're allowed to do there is a very low ha. Aloha, is that's it.
Mm.
That was pretty good. That was a pretty good setup for that joke there.
Okay, got it now.
Oh, that was good, chaps. That was good.
They're allowed to laugh as loud as they want. They're allowed to goof off. They're allowed to go up volcanoes and eat Dole Whips as much as they want.
Dole Whip. All right, so hugging is out. I love hugs. I love a good hug. It's awesome.
Me too. Who's the best hugger you know?
Clem's pretty good.
Yeah, Clem's mine too.
Clem's pretty good.
You know, my tits hurt so much these days. I haven't had a good hug in... because my pregnant belly and then my tits hurting, I haven't had a good hug in probably over 6 months. I can't
shots fired at Cash, dude. Like, he hugs you all the time.
No, that's true. He's got a tiny little, I'll tell you, his arms aren't very strong for hugging, though. I don't want to rip on him, but.
Wow, well, that was fucking ugly.
A little weak.
My goodness.
Get on that.
I can't believe you just let that out there.
Seriously. What kind of Marine is he going to be?
Seriously. Maybe he should eat some more meat like the Australians so he won't be seriously such a puss.
We got hugging. That's outlawed. What else would you be upset about if they outlawed?
One thing that I've hated about coronavirus, and now that it's winding down in the United States, or it appears to be winding down in the United States, we got to bring back shaking hands.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Meet somebody, like I bought a car today. Whenever you're going in and you sign on the dotted line or whatever, and they say, is this a good deal? Do we have an agreement? Sticking your hand out and saying, yes, this is a deal. I like that. Like when I meet somebody at the golf course, or if I go someplace else and I say, hey, how you doing? I'm Chaps. Nice to meet you. I gave him a nice firm handshake. I like that. I don't want to fucking dap. I don't want to do any of that shit. Touch elbows. I'm not Ben Affleck. I don't want to do that.
Do you know the history of the handshake dates back to 5th century BC in Greece? It was a symbol of peace because it showed that your hands were free, meaning you were not carrying a weapon. Here.
Yes.
You can feel my hand yourself. Nothing in here. Yeah. You know?
That's why Caesar got stabbed, because he didn't do that. He trusted Brutus too much.
Yeah, he was a dap guy. And Brutus, you're right. Brutus was a dap guy too.
Even though Brutus has been historically lauded as being a very smart person, I don't believe it. No one named Brutus is smart. No one.
No, it's a dumb name.
Yeah, your name's Brutus. You're a fucking box of rocks.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen Ohio State's mascot? That guy looks like a moron.
Yeah, fucking Buckeye. What is that? A fucking walnut?
I would say I don't like shaking hands. I've always hated it. And it originated for me, my hatred of this, the sign of peace in the Catholic Church. Every mass on Sunday would have this moment where it was like time for the sign of peace, where you turn to everyone around you in the pews and you shake their hands and you say, peace be with you, peace be with you, peace be with you. And I was always awkward.
And also with you.
And also with you. And in my teen years, if I was near like a boy in my Sunday school class that I had a crush on, like 10 minutes before the sign of peace, I would start getting nervous. Like, oh my God.
Sweaty palms.
I grab his hand. By the time it was time for the sign of peace, my hands would be soaking wet. And then I'm like, oh no. Because as soon as you start thinking about not wanting your palms to be sweaty, they're drenched.
Oh, and yeah.
I was the sweaty hand kid at sign of peace.
Same thing with diarrhea. If you get nervous about having diarrhea, like if it gets into your head, you're going to have diarrhea from stress.
Absolutely.
Also, Chaps, I know you'll agree with me on this. How much do you judge people if they have a crappy handshake?
Oh, not only Kate does too. Kate's biggest judge, weak handshake. Open your bitch ass mouth. Like
open
people who talk softly,
mouth.
She hates
soft
it.
Talkers and weak handshake, forget it. I'm done with you immediately. I'm done.
There is nothing in this world like being a staff NCO of Marines when a young Lance Corporal or Corporal comes up to you to request something that they need and they say it softly and you can look at them dead ass in their face and say, open your bitch ass mouth when you speak to me. It is just...
It's a good feeling.
So much.
You know what else is a good feeling?
As well, when you're saying it to like a bank teller.
Yeah. But you should. I mean, I could see like you get it. Like, what if you go to a pediatrician and they're like, oh, yes, Cash seems to be doing very fine. Like,
Cash, earmuffs, open your bitch ass mouth.
Yeah. Okay. When you explain the fucking vaccines that my son needs, you better open your little bitch ass mouth.
Right. Yeah.
And also, you know what else is a
sing to
treat?
Me too, nurse practitioner.
Yeah, talk sweet to me. Are you talking sweet to me?
I guess I owe you fucking money, huh?
Oh, well.
Chaps, and Kate, when you shake someone's hand and they're kind of taken aback by how firm your handshake is. I remember the first time I met Alex, and I don't do this to kind of like intimidate people. I just have naturally, like, I have a strong handshake. First time I shook.
Well, I think the military adds that too. Like, because you have a normal person handshake, and then as you grow in the military, it gets firmer and firmer and firmer because you have this repertoire.
You know what I do to show, especially in the military,
reputation.
Reputation.
People look at a woman and you think, oh, she's not going to give a good handshake. To show the men that I mean business, I always put a little piece of raw steak in my hand when I go to shake hands.
Whoa, that's good.
I say, this is a strong handshake with meat in it.
That's a veteran move.
Also, super fun handshake game whenever there's kids around, act like their handshake is crushing.
Yes. Someday, oh, that's a big time, like, dad, hey, move.
Not so hard. Oh, yeah. My God.
Actually, now that I think of it, the adults who give weak handshakes now, they probably had an uncle who did that joke too much. So they're like, yes. Oh, no, my handshake's too
hard. I don't
want
to hurt someone. Yeah.
I better soften.
True.
It.
It's not their fault. It's right. They're a product of their environment. Shout out Charles Darwin. So that's basically that story. Now let's move into killing Osama bin Laden in round number 4. Very different than what we've been talking about so far. And this talk about bin Laden, I think we actually might finish up the show with Rob O'Neill telling the story because it is fantastic. But this round is going to be brought to you by our friends at Trifecta Nutrition. Trifecta Nutrition is the best meal prep on earth. All of their meals are planned and created by chefs and nutritionists. They have vegetarian, but they also have meat. They have all kinds of stuff if you want it, no matter if you're on the keto or vegan or vegetarian, whatever kind of crazy fad diet you're on, they have it there. Trifecta has an app to help you track your meals and fitness as well. A community for Trifecta customers support your progress, because that's huge. If you're trying to lose weight or get in shape and you're not in like a group chat or group bubble where you can talk about it and not feel embarrassed, it stinks, because you want to tell people about your little, like when I was in school, I had a group of buddies that we all had gotten out around the same time, and we would all text each other like what we're doing that day, because it was only the 3 or 4 of us that were in the chat. That was the only people in the world that cared about what you're doing. And realistically, those other 3 people didn't care about what I was doing because I didn't care about what they were doing, but I had people to talk to about it. That shit's huge.
Yes, I would agree. Same goes for you right now. You text us that shot of your scale. I'm like, hey, good for him. Didn't really care, if I'm being honest, but
yes,
I was happy
did,
for
Cons.
You.
You texted me on the side. You said, I love you. I'm glad you're going to be here forever. Make sure if you want to be here forever with a full belly, you go to trifectanutrition.com. You're going to get 40% off your meal prep if you go with them. And also use the promo code 040, Z-E-R-O, 40 is where you need to go. So this article from Politico came out, and it's not often when a story is 10 years old that there's going to be elements that you haven't heard, especially for us. Like, we cover the military every week. We go through military news almost ad nauseum sometimes. Like, the last year has been rough, like, as far as the training has stopped. There's been no real deployments that are going on and that type of thing. Of course, there's things that are happening around the world that the military is involved in, but it's not like when we first started the show where there are so many things week in, week out going on. That's not what's going on right now. So when you have a story that's been around 10 years, it's very odd for there to be a shit ton of stuff that happens. This article is incredibly long, but the way that it shapes up at the beginning, and then we'll link it in the bio so you can see it, I'll blog it as well. So you can check that out on BarstoolSports.com. But they start off with the different generals that are there, and the generals that are usually involved in this type of situation, not just generals, but people that are in like the CIA, the Director of National Intelligence. So James Clapper, who was the Director of National Intelligence at the time, since 9/11, the U.S. intelligence community had one mission that surpassed all others, at least emotionally: find and capture or kill Osama bin Laden. George Little, who is the Director of Public Affairs for the CIA, said that it was still fresh on everyone's mind and consciousness, even though it was years away. John Darby, who is the senior official on counterterrorism for the NSA, said there was dozens of leads being worked at any time. Leon Panetta, who used to be the Secretary of the Navy, Secretary of Defense, and also the CIA director whenever this went on, he said some thought he was living in a cave, some thought he was still in tribal areas of Pakistan, others thought he might be in Iran, others thought he might be dead. They go on and on about what might happen. Well, all of a sudden, they start to get these briefs, and they don't bring everyone in right away. And the level of which they don't bring everyone in is pretty amazing, because this is a story that I hadn't heard in a long time. One, you have people that are getting called to the White House, the Situation Room, who only had been there for a couple things. And usually you're allowed to take notes. Well, Jeremy Bash, who was the chief of staff for the CIA, said, after a tragedy at Cost, where we lost several CIA officers on December 30th of 2009, Director Panetta said to the team responsible for hunting Al-Qaeda, I want you to come brief me every Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. on the hunt for Osama bin Laden, even if there's nothing new to report. So when you hear that for the first time, because you guys haven't read the article, when you hear that for the first time, what goes through your brain? Kate, we'll start with you.
I don't know.
You don't know. Cons, does anything go?
That makes sense.
Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. that it's of the utmost priority, that it takes precedence over anything else. If there's something recurring every week, then it is absolutely number one on the priority list.
This is what went through my brain when I heard that. They're going to find something. Because whenever somebody in that level of importance, the director of the CIA, tells you, I want you to come here every single week and tell me, you better have fucking new information. Mm-hmm. You can't walk into that office and be like, we got nothing this week. Right. That cannot happen. You aren't going to the director of the CIA and be like, sorry, Leon, we got nothing.
Yeah, we've been doing nothing for the last week. Nothing new has developed.
You can't do that to a colonel or a lieutenant colonel. You can't say, you want me to come here, brief where the Marines or where the soldiers are at on their PT. They got the same scores they did last week, sir or ma'am. You can't do that shit. You're definitely not doing it to the director of the CIA. Well, he goes on to say, I remember saying in the very, when I first gave them this order, that they would have to come in and tell me four or five new ideas about how we would try to locate bin Laden. Admiral McRaven, who makes his bed, said he represented everything and everything that we were fighting against. Tish Long, the director of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, said, I was in my office in August of 2010, and my executive assistant, a Navy captain, that shows you how high ranking she is. Mm. Navy captain, an 06, the same thing as a colonel, Kate, just as a reminder. 06 being your assistant means you're pretty fucking high up the chain.
Well, imagine this Navy that. Captain, I'm sorry, real quickly. To reach the rank of captain in the Navy, that's 20 plus years. To get to that rank and then be like, oh, you're just going to be this dude's assistant.
Right.
That's humbling.
I mean, I remember talking to the fella who was Mattis's assistant when he was the Department of Defense Secretary, whenever he said that Mattis at that time had a 2-star that was his assistant, like, that's when you know you fucking made it. When somebody has a star is bringing you coffee, you've made it. Well, he said, the Navy captain tells Tish Long, ma'am, there's a couple of folks here to see you. Okay, I want you to tell me a little bit more, he said. It's two analysts and the director of analysis. They said they really need to see you. He says, bring them in. Brett, you stay. So, you know, that happens all the time. Even with our CEO, whenever she has an important meeting, she'll tell her executive assistant to stay on to take notes in case she misses something, in case she gets a call. He can listen in or she can listen in to see what's going on. Well, they came in and they said, nope, he can't stay. He doesn't have a high enough clearance for all this. So that point, when that colonel who is the executive assistant has no right to be in the room, you know something big is coming up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like when they're like, captain, get the fuck out, there's going to be something huge that goes on. He said, Jeremy Bash, who was the briefer, said, we've been following two individuals who were historically couriers for bin Laden. We found them and we followed them to a dead end street in a town called Abbottabad. At the end of the street, there's a place that looks like a fortress. I remember Panetta looked up from his briefing binder and he's like, a fortress? Tell me more. You're on the hunt for bin Laden in a town called Abbottabad. And you find a fortress that has 18 foot high walls, that it's like it's looks impenetrable from the outside. Mike Morrell said he went through what was unique about this compound and the hair started standing literally up on the back of my neck. Jeremy Bash went on to say that they began telling him that this place had 12 foot high walls, 18 foot high walls in the back, no electricity, no phone service, and the people who were living there were taking great pains to conceal their identity. Mike Morrell said that he showed us the main house had very few windows. He showed us that the compound was compartmentalized, broken up with internal walls, so it was very difficult to move from one part to the other part. They go into it, and this part really gets me going, because at this point, they kind of know that it's him. They bring
not open concept. Pardon me.
Yeah, they bring in President Obama to these meetings after McRaven is brought in to see what he thinks. President Obama tells the entire squad, no one else bring in anybody from the DOD, nobody from the FBI, no generals, no military, nobody else. The only people that know about this are the people in the room. That's it. Getting that from the President of the United States must be chilling.
Mm-hmm.
Chilling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what you're explaining was largely in the movie Zero Dark Thirty, but to me, it sounds like the real way it went down was in the movie. There's a little more.
They all did like on the record. This is the first time they've all gone like on the record, like going through how everything, and they pieced it all together about how it went. Listen to what McRaven said. McRaven said when they told him about the initial briefing and they gave him like what it looked like, McRaven looked at the model and says, if you guys had to do this, how would you do it? I said, look, it's a compound. This isn't hard. It's a little bit bigger than we're used to, but we're doing this 10 to 12 times a night in Afghanistan right now. This isn't a complicated thing for us to do.
Wow. He's like, yeah, we got that play in our playbook. That's, you know, near right, scat right, 364 hour swing.
When you're in charge of all of SOCOM, like you're not going to be that, like, and you look at a compound, it's not like you're asking them to go through a cave system in Vietnam. It's a compound. Mm-hmm. Like, even though it's a little bit bigger, like they train in hospitals, they train in stadiums, they train in all kinds of places. This compound's big, but it's not too big.
And their principles just carry through. So no matter what, even if they come across something that maybe they've never seen before, their principles take over and they'll be able to handle it.
And he goes, and McRaven says,
by the way, go ahead, not just Kate, living in a double wide in town.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to be an international terrorist, dude, you got to stay in like the Ritz.
Yeah.
Dye your hair.
What's the point? I mean, you're like, really? Bin Laden? Fucking idiot. I mean, this guy, if he would have stayed in Saudi Arabia, he was like a billionaire. Like, his family was rich as fuck, had all kinds of oil. Why are you going to go live in a cave for fucking 15 years?
Maybe he was a minimalist.
I can tell you right now, I used to be
there for 15 years with all of us looking for him. So
I used to be wanting to be a pastor. If you'd have told me, look, you can have $1 billion or you can go live in a cave. I was very devout. Give me $1 billion.
You weren't that devout.
Not after a while. No, that's true. So, go ahead, Kate.
Well, they dumped him at the ocean, right?
Yes.
I think so, yeah. But the last thing I want to talk about was the options that they had of what they did. They brought all these options to President Obama. Leon Panetta brought one. And I had never heard this. They were like, all right, look. And this is like Panetta and all those, like McRaven and Clapper, they all basically turned back into Lance Corporals. And they were like, look, what we need to do, we're going to bring a B-2. We're going to blow this motherfucker to shit. We are just going to absolutely come in here and blow this motherfucker to pieces. Finally, somebody in the room was like, if you guys do this with B-2s, you're going to kill everybody around. Like, it's not just going to, like, you're not going to be able to just target this compound. Everyone around is going to die too. And they're
you do not want to make the killing of Osama bin Laden. You do not want to make him sympathetic in any way. You don't want to.
Right.
So killing kids is probably not.
Right. The kids are there, all that stuff. So they have to take that all into consideration. And I'm glad that they ended up doing it the way that they did it. Cause bin Laden needed to die. Like, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
like,
but also
did that happen?
I think there would have been, had we just dropped a bunch of bombs, we could have said like, yeah, we knew he was there, but the way that we did do it to absolutely know that he was there, I think gave a lot of people a lot of peace of mind as opposed to.
Which is why I think they should have released the pictures. I'm still surprised the actual pictures haven't been released. Like the ones that are going around and have gone around for years are fake. Like those aren't real. I wish they would have actually released it. Or if they had like body cams they could have wore.
Yeah, I think so. I'm very interested to read the entirety of this article. So I'll read the blog whenever you post it. But I have to imagine there are still parts of this that are still classified and will remain classified for a little bit longer, if not decades longer. So maybe those pictures will come out. It's just going to take a lot more time because there's a lot of aspects of this mission that if we revealed now would leave us somewhat vulnerable, I have to imagine.
No doubt. And the end of the article that I'll stop here, it goes on and on, like I said. But the last thing I'll say is Nick Rasmussen. He said, we might not ever know if we succeeded in killing him if we blew up everything, and we wouldn't be able to control the narrative of the aftermath. So what Kate said was well was very right in there. So now to end the episode, we're going to have Rob O'Neill on the 10th anniversary, or right around the 10th anniversary, explain what his actions were the night that he put three rounds in the face of Osama bin Laden. And after he's done, sound the retreat.
And we're here with a dude that you might have heard before, because he fired the shot heard round the world. And that was one that took down a dude by the name of Osama bin Laden. Not sure if you've ever heard of him, but he orchestrated some pretty bad shit. So we had him come on because we're some military dudes, and doesn't get much more military dude than the dude that put two in the chest and one in the head. Is that how it went down?
No, it didn't. It was actually two to the head and then one more to the head.
Okay, so you're different.
No, it was. It was, because he was standing up for the first few, and then so the third shot was the easiest.
Yeah.
But I've actually taken some grief over that, because I've heard haters say that, like, if you're trying to go after a high-value individual like that, you don't shoot him in the face because you want target ID. But I'm like, you know what? That's not the case, because if you've ever dealt with a suicide bomber, you shoot him in the face.
Yeah.
Like, you shoot him in the chest. It's amazing. People have this weird thing called a will to live, mm-hmm. and people don't die as fast in real life as they do in the movie. So you shoot a suicide bomber in the chest, they have a tendency to continue, you know, they continue the circuit and the bomb goes off. So you shoot him in the face. Plus, his face was closer to me than his chest anyway. So.
Yeah, and to me, if it's Osama bin Laden, you shoot him as many times as you possibly can in any place you can, and the face is a good place to start.
His face is a good spot. And like Grandma always said, anything worth shooting is worth shooting twice.
Right.
Exactly. I did that just because there's a word that I love to use once in a while. It's thrice. Even though people don't know it's a word, I shot him thrice.
I feel like the thing that you did, people want to know.
Yeah.
And they want to see a face to a name. And sure. I feel like that's common, and especially since you weren't the one that released it. And I think if you would have been the one, if you did it and you came back, you flew into Virginia Beach and you were like, Virginia Beach News, I am Rob O'Neill. I am all that is great and good. Like, I feel like I'd be like, I don't know if I want to have him.
It was almost out of necessity that you were telling the story, because it was already out there. So you wanted to make sure the story.
The story was out there. And I wanted to make sure the truth was told.
Okay.
But I'll be the first.
Exactly. That's
a lot of people can't handle the truth.
You can't. Look at that. These are references. A few good men. I love
it. I'm going to write a movie about it.
But I'll be the first to tell you, I it wasn't because of me. Like, I'm to the point where I didn't do anything that whole mission. I literally followed cool guys, watched them do really cool shit the whole time, literally knowing we're going to die on this mission, but I need to savor this because this is historic. Cool guy doing this, cool guy. Oh, my God, that was cool. I love that. I know this guy. All of a sudden up the stairs, and a guy jumps on suicide bombers. I turn right, there's bin Laden, I shoot him, just because that's my job.
Yeah.
And based on tactics that guys before me invented. That's it. I got even on my website, I say that I got there on shoulders of giants.
Yes.
That's the only reason I got it. It's not like I came through the skylight by myself and all of a sudden, bam, I'm out, bitches. That's not
exactly. Throughout how many years were you in the Navy before you pulled the trigger?
About 15 years. I was a SEAL for about 15 years
so
before that.
So you had 15 years of training to lead you to that point.
Well, 15 years of combat and training.
Yeah, 15 years of combat and training. And you also had, not only that, but you had countless of other people gathering the information.
Years. I mean, even pre 9/11, there were people tracking bin Laden.
Right.
There were all kinds of agency guys and intelligence people that were men and women. I don't mean to say guys. They were doing nothing but that, and they were just tracking him. And when they told us about bin Laden, what, 3 weeks before we went to go get him? They knew about him for years.
Oh, yeah.
And they kept that a secret. And they were building – I mean, how meticulous must they have been to build that case to go back to that house? We're just the means to an end. And, I mean, to a lot of people out there that play those video games and do the little Instagram shit – tip of the spear sounds cool, but that's what it is. You're just the end. The fat part of the spear is the smart people, the people that actually busted their asses for years.
Yeah, there's wood on the spear. There's iron on the steel. Somebody had to fucking shape that's the what iron.
Yeah. And I mean, even in President Obama's defense, he said afterwards, I was never convinced 100% bin Laden was there.